It is time to bring in Brian Ross. It is time for Real News with Brian Ross. Brian joins us on a Thursday. We are Thursday, even though it's Christmas Eve. Good morning and happy holidays, Brian.
And to you as well, Marshall, and to all our great listeners on the Breakfast Club, and pardon me.
That's right. You know, pardons are, you know, every president makes controversial pardons, everyone, at the end of their term. And some presidents, like Barack Obama and George Bush, the second Bush, over the course of their eight terms, their 8 years in office, make about, I think it'd be between 800 and 1,000 pardons. They were the most. What they did and what every other president did was, When they put pardons up, they said it through the Department of Justice. And yes, Bill Clinton had some very wild pardons. There was no doubt about it. But I think that the pardon party is definitely going to be won by Donald Trump this year.
Oh, my goodness. It's really astounding. And I think it's just the opening round. He's just, you know, yet to come are pardons perhaps for his family members who haven't been charged with any crimes but could be. And then, of course, could he pardon himself?
It's you know, like I said, it's a strange situation. With every president, there's always pardons, and there's always some controversial ones. And Donald Trump hasn't pardoned a lot of people up till now, but all his pardons have been either politically or monetarily noted. Almost all of them, except for very few. So it's a strange situation. But then again, we all expected a very weird end of the presidency, and it's not stopping. I mean, you can look at what's going on with the COVID-19 package. You can look at the omnibus spending bill, which is tied with the COVID-19. You can look at the military bill, all which Donald Trump, the military bill, Donald Trump has vetoed. The omnibus budget and the COVID-19 relief package looks like he's going to pocket veto. And pocket veto means he just doesn't get to signing it. So this is a very, very, very convoluted time and mixed up time in Washington, D.C.
Right. And then, of course, he boarded Air Force One, and at our expense, the taxpayers' expense, headed off to Florida, where he'll be through New Year's. And, you know, I guess in some ways, good luck. But as many have pointed out, it's when he's down there at Mar-a-Lago that he's done some of his craziest stuff. So, you know, reporters are saying you cannot answer the phone because lots is going to still happen with this man. He's got now, what, how many days is it, 25 days left in office? Yeah, we don't know what he's going to do. And I think he has sealed, as you say, his legacy as perhaps one of the, not only one of the most controversial, but, you know, for many, one of the poorest presidents in modern times.
Well, we have lots of things to worry about, like Iran. They did attack the U.S. embassy, ran back rebels, I should say. And he sent a very stern warning, if one American dies. So, I mean, there's things on the world stage which are also, which are, anything can happen. He's still president. And
But, you know, it is a reminder, Marshall, that when we elect somebody, that we're putting somebody into the most powerful position in the world, really, who we have to trust. And you have to think back when it was a protest vote, perhaps. People wanted to muck up Washington, because Washington had mucked up so many lives. They sent Donald Trump in there to obstruct and disrupt, and he did all that. And you know, we've done that now, and it was not, in the end, it was not a good choice, I think, for many Americans. We'll see if he tries to run again. I think it's unlikely, but it's a reminder that you know, putting somebody in there who's not really suited for the job, who's not really able to carry out the job, as Bob Woodward said, he's just not up to it, and he's not. And you can see in so many ways the failings, not just the controversies and the strange pardons, but just what I'm struck by is, for instance, what seems to be the shortcomings in the delivery of the COVID-19 vaccines, you know, with gaps in the deliveries and promised a number of doses not available, and you know, they didn't buy enough initially. Lots of questions there just about basic competence.
And basic operation being just, you know, if you have a strong president that can actually lead and get things done, those things might happen, but they're corrected quickly. It's just a really, I'm 68, and I never thought I'd be reading stories from the military saying that, just a reminder, folks, we have no process in intervening in elections. I mean, for military heads, for the head of the Army, and for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to come out and make statements like that, you know you're definitely living through a very wild time.
Absolutely. You know, and doctors give their patients stress tests, and there are stress tests for banks and financial institutions. Democracy has been given a stress test, and I think we can say so far, we'll see, that democracy has passed the test. We're still been able to continue a peaceful transition of power so far. The military has done what it should, and other institutions, courts, et cetera, have done what they should.
Yeah, we've made it through very luckily so far, and we'll see what happens. But our Constitution was tested during Watergate. There is no doubt about that, and the Constitution came through. There'll be other times where it's going to be tested, but this year, 2020, for it to be tested when the economy is in shambles because of COVID-19. Because of COVID-19, we're approaching, it's now December 24th, and Donald Trump did go to Florida, and you have the omnibus spending bill, and you have the COVID-19 package, and you have the military package. It looks like, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it looks like this is his vengeance in going out and going to leave the new administration with just as much problems as he could.
Right, but I think that we've seen also already an incredible level of competence with the incoming next administration, the Biden administration. Will it be, if nothing else, more competent and will be very centrist? Clearly, those who seek a more progressive response are going to be disappointed in Joe Biden, but he is already signaling he's going to be in the center, and that is how he is going to conduct government from the center.
I am one of those progressive thinking people, but you know what? I'm not disappointed.
You're not. Well,
I'm not disappointed because, you know, no matter what happened, this country needed a change of direction. And I don't know how any progressive, you might be disappointed with things that might not happen that you want to have happen, but the overriding responsibility as an American is to look forward to our country getting back together again, not necessarily quickly, but having the separation of power between the White House, the Justice Department, all separated and once again, and operating on cylinders like it should. So you can, you know, people used to say you couldn't trust the government. Well, guess what? Now you can see why you have to put faith in our Constitution. You put faith in our Constitution because, obviously, if you look at the last 4 years, things didn't go well. You know, when you talk about failed presidencies, look at Jimmy Carter. Now, there was a failed presidency because he was too compassionate. He just was not the right temperament to go into the White House. He was a brilliant man, a smart man, and a compassionate man, and just not right for that job. The job of president is one of the most peculiar jobs in the world because you need a certain amount of strength, a certain amount of honesty, and you need a certain amount of look what Jimmy Carter has done after he's been president. People really admire him now and forget the fact that his presidency was basically a failed presidency. But you look at the failed presidency of Richard Nixon, same thing. Right now, Richard Nixon, he was bad what happened with Watergate, but you look at the world stage, and the world stage wasn't that upset that much. But you look at this failed presidency, and it is a failed presidency, and the damage that has been done to ourself as a country and our image in the world is just amazing.
Well, it does remind us when we decide who to vote for that the elections do have consequences, and if nothing else, that's been a helpful thing.
Well, if you were going to look forward to one thing in the new year, even though we're going to speak before the new year next week, what would you be looking for?
Well, I'm looking forward to a vaccine and to an end of this COVID-19 pandemic with the death toll rapidly raising to 350,000 or so. And I'm just looking forward to a return to some sort of normal health for our country, for our citizens in many ways.
I think we're all looking for that and hope that it comes. I hope you're going to have a a nice Christmas.
Right. We'll hope we keep the power on as the storms move toward us. But, yes, and, Marshall, it's always great to be here on the Breakfast Club with you. I really enjoy my Thursday mornings talking with you.
All right, and we will speak to you next Thursday, Brian.
Absolutely.
Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Brian Ross, and real news here on Robin Hood Radio.